President Raisi tells the Iraqi Prime Minister that Tehran is determined to expand ties with Baghdad, while Mustafa al-Qadhimi hails Iran for its role in defeating Daesh terrorists. The head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran says talks with the visiting IAEA chief were constructive, and that what matters is building mutual trust. The United States has declassified a batch of documents that strengthen suspicions of Saudi officials' involvement in the 9/11 attacks. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Appreciate you being with us. First story takes us right here to Iran this hour, where President Ebrahim Raisi says his country is determined to expand relations with neighboring Iraq. Raisi said the two sides are able to further promote their ties in all fields, despite outside interference. He was speaking during a joint presser with Iraqi Prime Minister Mustafa al-Qadhimi in Tehran. The Iranian president said the Iraqi side has agreed to a visa waiver regime between the two countries. The Iraqi premier, for his part, said his country attaches great significance to ties with Iran. He also appreciated Iran for its role in defeating the Daesh terrorist group in Iraq. Al-Qadhimi arrived in Tehran earlier on Sunday for a one-day trip. Well, Iran says it has had constructive talks with the visiting head of the International Atomic Energy Agency. The new head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, Mohammad Islami, made the comments after meeting with Rafael Grossi in Tehran. Islami said the talks were concentrated on technical issues, and there have been an agreement over the replacement of old memory cards of the agency's cameras at nuclear facilities. Islami noted that building trust has been of utmost importance for both sides. Grossi also called the meeting very important and positive. He said Iran and the agency must expand their cooperation. The one-day visit by the IAEA chief is his first since Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi assumed office in August. The visit comes ahead of Monday's meeting of the IAEA's Board of Governors. A flotilla of the Iranian Navy has returned home after accomplishing its mission in the high seas. The Navy vessels arrived in a southern Iranian port city of Bandar Abbas early on Sunday and were welcomed by high-ranking military officials. Present at the ceremony was the commander of the Iranian Army, Major General Abdurrahim Mousavi, who praised the crew members of the Iranian Armada for having completed their mission successfully. He said the naval fleet carried out its mission in the worst climatic conditions and amid the enemy's political campaigns and psychological warfare. He said the historic mission was accomplished thanks to the Navy's prudence, knowledge, and bravery under the guidelines of the Islamic Revolution's leader. Well, the commander of the Iranian Navy has given us more details about the mission of the naval flotilla, which came back home after a 45,000-kilometer voyage.
During this mission, this destroyer experienced four seasons and it passed across the two hemispheres. It was important for us to, I mean, my comrades here, it was important for them to hone their skills, to and they showed their capabilities and they demonstrated their skills. And what was important was that they didn't stop during the mission without any need for any logistics. They went all the way to their destinations and came back. And this shows that in the domain of naval missions, it is important that definitely equipment run into problems, technical problems, one way or another. But their capabilities were so high that we didn't need any assistance from any other ports in other countries. The U.S. does not have a proper understanding of Iran, and they do not know our capabilities. And they just read some reports. Well, you see, anybody who is wise enough knows the capabilities of Iran. So anybody who is wise enough, he or she knows how things play out. So, and this mission was accomplished powerfully And we will continue our presence with more might and power and with more lofty objectives.
Well, the United States has declassified a batch of documents that strengthen suspicions of Saudi officials' involvement in the 9/11 attacks. The hugely redacted documents detailed logical support of a Saudi consular official and a Saudi intelligence agent provided to at least two al-Qaeda operatives involved in the hijacking of airliners used in the attacks. The FBI found the agent deeply involved in providing travel assistance, lodging, and financing to the hijackers. Members of the Saudi government have long been suspected of involvement in the attacks, but the Saudi embassy in Washington, D.C. has denied Rial's role. The documents are being released on President Joe Biden's executive order. He issued the order after over 1,600 families affected by the attacks demanded him not to attend ceremonies marking the 20th anniversary of the attacks unless he released the documents. Well, U.S. President Joe Biden says most Americans support his decision to withdraw forces from Afghanistan. This as his predecessor, Donald Trump, has slammed the chaotic withdrawal as an embarrassment for the White House. Earlier now, News Review program, we discussed the story in detail. Let's take a listen.
Now, welcome to News Review program, where we get in-depth in one of the day's top stories. U.S. President Joe Biden has once again defended his controversial decision to withdraw from Afghanistan.
If you had told anybody that we were going to spend $300 million a day for 20 years to try to unite the country after we got bin Laden, after al-Qaeda was wiped out there, can al-Qaeda come back? Yeah, but guess what? It's already back other places. What's the strategy? Every place where al-Qaeda is, we're going to invade and have troops stay there? People, 70% of American people think it was time to get out of Afghanistan, spending all that money. But the flip of it is, they didn't like the way we got out. But it's hard to explain to anybody, how else could you get out?
Biden said the U.S. forces had achieved their central mission when a special forces team killed al-Qaeda founder Osama bin Laden in 2011. He made the remarks in a visit to the site of one of the 9/11 plane crashes in Pennsylvania. All living former U.S. presidents except for Jimmy Carter and Donald Trump attended the formal events to mark the 20th anniversary of the attacks. Trump visited a police precinct in New York. He used the event to criticize Biden and described the withdrawal from Afghanistan as horrible.
It's a horrible thing that took place, a horrible, horrible thing. It's an embarrassment, and the likes of which our country has never been embarrassed before. We've never had anything like this happen. It looked like we retreated. It looked like we gave up. Like they used the word surrender. And we didn't surrender. Our people didn't surrender, and our soldiers sure as hell didn't surrender.
We should have never gotten into that quicksand. Trillions of dollars, millions of lives if you look at both sides. But when you get out, you have to get out with honor, dignity, strength, and victory. We would have had victory.
Joining us now for this program is Colin Campbell, joining us from Washington, D.C., and Mr. William Jones, from the Washington Bureau Chief of the Executive Intelligence Review, joining us from Washington, D.C. as well. Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you both to the program. Colin, we're going to start with you to get the latest, if we could. There's been a lot of criticism, especially from Trump and his supporters, against the way Biden handled this, but we know it was Trump who actually hammered out the deal early last year, and basically that kind of tied Biden into carrying it out, or from the way Biden said it, staying there indefinitely at this point. What more can you tell us?
Well, we know that Washington is widely divided right now. Very politically polarizing topics are going to be bandied back and forth, both parties. So whenever you get the former president gets to take a shot at the current president, he's going to do that. With all that being said, however, we did see media and some of the failures that the Biden administration had with the pullout process, the pictures of men falling from planes as they took off into the sky and they wanted so badly to be on the plane, they jumped into the wheel well and then realized that they couldn't hold on. Those images are going to be played out in U.S. media, and people are going to remember them. Not only that, the more than a dozen servicemen who died in the final days of the plot as well as several dozen Afghans who were exploded just outside of the Kabul airport, the Hamid Karzai airport. So, of course, that's going to be a stain on the Biden administration. And when you have those who are politically partisan, they're going to point out those mistakes.
Thank you, colleague. And Mr. William Jones, welcome to the program, sir. Your thoughts about Joe Biden's evacuation and the way he handled it?
Well, there are obviously unexpected circumstances there that President Biden didn't expect, the U.S. military didn't expect, and I don't think the Taliban expected that. The rapid takeover of the country in such a short period of time, I think, took everybody by surprise. President Trump's criticisms, of course, are somewhat moot since he was going to get him out by May, and it's very difficult to see how he would have done that in any way that that would have avoided anything that looked like a defeat. And it is a defeat. It's a defeat of a policy that lasted for 20 years, and that policy has got to be rejected. It is being rejected by the American people, by and large, and we see that in the support that President Biden has received, as President Trump received in his own decision to pull out of Afghanistan. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But in doing that, of course, there were agreements with the Taliban that even the Taliban successes overran their preparedness in the security realm to deal with the situation, especially in Kabul, which was not supposed to be taken over until later. But the dynamic of the momentum of the Taliban changed the situation on the ground. And like I said, everybody was in there by surprise. There is very little that President Biden could have done to delay the process without seriously imperiling the agreement. So the only thing that they could do was move as quickly as possible in a situation which they were no longer in Kabul, completely in control of. And it is a stain, it is a problem. Those visions, those pictures will be seen for a long time to come. But I don't think it's going to seriously affect the pullout of Afghanistan, because that was an idea whose time had come, and it is over. And now, as the smoke settles, we'll see what the political repercussions are. But I don't think there's going to be any objections from the American people that that was the right decision to make.
Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us on the program, Dr. Colin Campbell and Mr. William Jones, Washington Bureau Chief from the Executive Intelligence Review, both joining us from the U.S. Capitol, Washington, D.C. And that's a wrap for the segment of your News Review program. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
And continue with other news this hour. Turkey's defense ministry says two Turkish troops have been killed during attacks in Syria and Iraq. The ministry says one soldier was killed and another wounded in an attack on a Turkish military vehicle in northern Iraq. It has blamed the attack on what it calls separatist terrorists. The ministry says a second soldier died after he succumbed to his wounds sustained during an attack in Syria's Idlib province. Saturday's attack left two more Turkish soldiers dead. Now, Turkey often conducts operations against the Kurdistan Workers' Party and other Kurdish groups in Iraq and Syria. Ankara considers them terrorists. Turkey has maintained its military presence in Iraq and Syria despite opposition from those governments. Well, Israel has carried out fresh airstrikes on the Gaza Strip, targeting several areas in the south of the besieged Palestinian territory. The regime's warplanes fired at least six missiles at Rafah, southern Gaza. Now, the Israeli military claims they targeted positions belonging to the Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas. Israel says the airstrikes came in response to rockets and incendiary balloons from the coastal sliver. No casualties or material damage have been reported so far. Meanwhile, Palestinians have gone on strike in the occupied northern West Bank city of Jenin in solidarity with escaped prisoners targeted by the Israeli regime. The strike comes amid days of a massive manhunt by Israel in the area, where the regime's forces conducted extensive raids and even arrested family members of the escapees. So far, 4 out of the 6 prisoners that broke out of Israel's maximum security Gilboa jail on Monday have been recaptured and taken to court. 2 others still remain at large. Palestinian resistance groups have condemned the manhunt, saying these developments signal a new round of explicit conflict with the occupying regime. China says it has administered more than 2 billion doses of COVID-19 vaccines across the country. The National Health Commission made the announcement on Sunday. This as the country has registered 46 new daily infections, with 44 asymptomatic cases that China did not classify as confirmed. Currently, the total caseload in the country, the birthplace of the virus, stands at over 95,000. Chinese officials have repeatedly stressed that they would provide vaccines and technical support to other countries, despite domestic demands. President Xi Jinping recently announced that his country would donate 100 million more doses of vaccines to developing countries as part of a global fight against the pandemic. Well, in Turkey, thousands of people have held a demonstration in Istanbul against COVID vaccinations and the government's coronavirus restrictions. Protesters say the new measures violate their rights and are against international law. On Monday, the government began requiring proof of vaccinations or negative COVID tests for all users of inner-city planes, buses, and trains, as well as for those attending large events such as concerts. All unvaccinated school employees are required to take a PCR test twice a week. Masks and social distancing are required in public places. Nearly 65% of Turks have received the 2 vaccine shots. Still, about 23,000 new cases on average are reported on a daily basis. And with that, brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thanks so much for staying with us.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is taught in the art of
journalism. Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, September 12th, 2021. I'm Atefer Fani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. If you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very useful and important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers in IRIB English Radio. You know why? Because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL from us. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including reception reports from Han Hardung from the Netherlands, Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Howard Barnett from England, and also here we have a reception report and a short message from Franz Hennis from Sweden. So, Franz, Han, and Mizanur Rahman and Howard, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And also, many thanks to those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters from around the world, which here I mention some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails or letters. So, from India, we have an email from Hasna Manzil. From Italy, we have an email from Alberto. From Germany, we have an email from one of our regular listeners. From Reinhard Klein Arendt. And guess what? Here we have an email. Of course, as well as a postcard, yes, a postcard and an email from one of our regular listeners, and this postcard and email is from Jyrki Hitonen from Finland, one of our regular listeners. So stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages. Welcome back. Here we have an email from India. This email is from Hasna Manzil. Hasna Manzil from India says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I am a listener of worldwide radios, and this time I had a chance to listen to IRIB English Radio based in Tehran, Iran. I would love to listen to your radio regularly, so please send me the frequency guide of your station with complete details of the programs. I shall be very grateful if you do it. Thanks and regards." Salam and warmest greetings to you from Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. Hasna Manzil from India. I do express my warm gratitude to you for sending us this email. And thank you very much to inform us, to let us know that you listen to IRIB English Radio most of the time. And regarding your request about sending you the frequency guide of IRIB English Radio with the complete details of the programs, you can refer to our website, because the frequency schedule The time of the programs are available at our website at www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can find the frequency guide of IRIB English Radio. Again, Hasna Manzil from India, many thanks for sending us this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And as I said, from Italy, we have an email. This email is from Alberto. Alberto from Italy says, "Dear sirs or madam at IRIB English Radio, I sent you my reception report with a short audio recording of your transmission. I was very pleased to listen to your station. My name is Alberto and I live in Figline in Sisa, Valdarno, 40 kilometers south from Florence, Italy. Please send me your paper QSL card or paper verification letter by post. For me, it would be a great gratification. Thanks in advance and best regards." And salam and warmest greetings to you, Alberto from Italy. Ciao. Many thanks for sending us this email, Alberto. We are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in your region. As you said, you live near Florence, Italy. That's great. And your region is called Valdarno. So you received the signals of IRIB English Radio. So please, in your upcoming emails or letters, let us know what you think about our programs. Let us know which program or programs you like the best. Yes, we're waiting for that. And also wait for an EQSL card, because it's not possible for us to send you a paper QSL card in the time of the pandemic. Yes, that's the reason. Yes, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL. Many thanks for sending us this email, Alberto from Italy. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon and your views. So, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Germany, from Reinhard Klein Arendt. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Before reading an email from Reinhard Klein Arendt, I should mention that here we have a reception report and a short message from Sweden, from Franz Hennis. Franz Hennis from Sweden says, "Dear Madam or Sir, I would appreciate confirmation of my reception report with your QSL card. Best regards." From Franz Hennis from Sweden, warmest greetings to you. As I have said several times during our programs, sending a paper QSL card is not possible, but my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL. Many thanks for sending us reception report plus this short message. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Okay, as I said, from Germany, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Reinhard Klein Arendt. He says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, thank you very much for your kind email and the QSL card. In fact, I did not receive the paper QSL. However, I am more than happy to be in the recipient list of your email and receive an EQSL from your radio. Please excuse me for the delay for answering. But beside of having more work than usual because of COVID-19, we had severe flooding here in the region and we had to do a lot to get things organized again, though our house was not affected. My best greetings from cool Germany. We have a great summer here, 16 degrees in the morning and 20 in the afternoon. Take care, warm regards." Salam and warmest greetings to you from Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, to you, Reinhard, in Germany. And I do express my appreciation to you for sending us this email. and letting us know about what's happening in your region. As you said, although it's summer, it's cool. As you said, it's 16 degrees in the morning and 20 degrees in the afternoon. That's great. It's summer, but it's hot and humid in Iran. It's summer, yes, it's hot and humid in Iran, but in some European countries, it seems that it's cooler. So that's great. Many thanks for writing this email to us, Reinhard from Germany. Write to us soon, and my colleagues will very soon send you an EQSL. As you said, it's in the time of pandemic, and we can't send you a paper QSL card. Anyway, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. Now, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Kanos, Finland. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. As I said, here we have an email plus a postcard from Kanos, Finland. And this email is from one of our regular listeners, Dr. Jyrki Hitonen. He says, "Hello, I have just finished reading another book I got from IRIBWS many years ago. It has been in my bookshelf, but only now I took time and read it. It was about resurrection, judgment, and the hereafter. I read it to learn more about Islam, and I think I understand now a little bit more. The book contains 298 pages. I hope the COVID pandemic will end this year. It has been with us quite a long time and changed our habits. Also, I read from you, Pars website." He means Pars Today website, that it has increased poverty and famine in developing countries. Enclosed is an MP3 recording of IRIB radio. It has, of course, the information, which I won't read it. Please send me an EQSL card. My receiver is ELAD I use with my computer. I used almost 200-meter-long antenna. Yours sincerely, Dr. Jyrki Hitonen from Finland. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Dr. Jyrki Hitonen from Finland. I do express my warm gratitude to you for sending us this email and, of course, this beautiful postcard, which has the picture of a scenery in Kanos, a city in Finland. It has a river, it has a forest, and a beautiful city. It's great. Many thanks for sending us this beautiful postcard, Dr. Jyrki Hitonen. As you said, many years ago, before the coronavirus pandemic, we used to send our dear listeners the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio, like books, which you said you're still keeping it in your bookshelf and you're still reading it. That's great. So keep it. Of course, after the pandemic, we'll soon start sending our dear listeners the promotional items of IRIB English Radio. We also, like you, hope that the COVID pandemic will end this year. We also hope that health, peace and joy prevails over the world very soon. Many thanks for sending us this email and this beautiful postcard, Dr. Jyrki Hitonen. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And as the time tells me, we have to skip to the next section of this week's Listeners Special, which is, of course, this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Please take a listen.
Okay, my name is Barton Rogan. I'm 64 years old. I've been listening to the radio, shortwave radio, and particularly the Iranian radio for many years now. I first started listening to shortwave in the early 1970s, so it's a long time ago. There have been a lot of changes in that time. I was a teacher of modern languages for many years. I'm retired now, and I do a bit of voluntary work these days. I stay in the west of Scotland, in Ayr, near where I was born, although for some time I taught in other countries, Spain, Sweden, France, but came back home and lived in the south of Scotland for a number of years, and now I'm back in the west. Apart from the shortwave radio, my main hobby would be now writing about football games, semi-professional football games in the west of Scotland. So I think that about covers it. I think the news that we get from you is very comprehensive. It covers stories that do not normally get covered in this country. And as I said before, it's all about a different perspective on things. There are those who would like the Iranian view never to be put forward in this country, as happened when they took Press TV off the Sky platform. It's a way of silencing different views. That's why it's important to keep IRIB on the air, on shortwave, so that as many people around the world as possible can hear what you have to say. Your station is excellent, and I wouldn't change very much about it. As someone who works for IRIB, must wonder what do our listeners feel about our programs. And the listeners should get in contact, say what they think, good or bad or indifferent, but give their views. IRIB, in my experience, does actually listen to what its audience has to say. So if you're listening to IRIB right now and you don't like what you're hearing, let them know. But if you do, there's nothing like encouragement to help people continue with their work, because the work is important and someone's got to do it.
And here we come to the end of this week's edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us, and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with RIB English Radio.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
In the limelight.
France's former health minister Agnès Buzyn has been charged over her handling of the COVID-19 pandemic after investigators at a special court in Paris concluded there were grounds to prosecute her. Agnès Buzyn, a former doctor, resigned as France's health minister in mid-February 2020 at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. The article you're about to hear has been written by staff at Agence France-Presse. The piece is titled France's former health minister charged over handling of COVID crisis. France's former health minister Agnès Buzyn has been charged over her handling of the COVID-19 pandemic after investigators at a special court in Paris concluded there were grounds to prosecute her. Agnès Buzyn, a former doctor, resigned as France's health minister in mid-February 2020 at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. Buzyn has been charged with endangering the lives of others, according to the prosecutor in a special court that deals with ministerial accountability. A second possible offence of failure to stop a disaster was not brought. The former doctor, who will be able to appeal against the charge, attended a hearing at the court on Friday, 10th of September, saying she welcomed an excellent opportunity for me to explain myself and to establish the truth. She said she would not let the action of the government be discredited, or my action as a minister, when we did so much to prepare our country for a global health crisis that is still ongoing. The charges are a blow for French President Emmanuel Macron, whose handling of the health crisis will face scrutiny during election campaigning next year. But the court is also likely to face allegations of judicial overreach. Agnès Buzyn, who resigned from her post in February last year, weeks after the first COVID cases were confirmed in France, has faced criticism and ridicule over her initial statements about the pandemic. She said back in January of 2020 that there was practically no risk of importing COVID-19 from the Chinese city at the origin of the outbreak, Wuhan, and then said the risk of a spread of the coronavirus among the population is very small. Just a month later, as she left the ministry to launch a failed bid to become the mayor of Paris, she claimed that the tsunami has yet to come, in an apparent contradiction of her earlier statements. Agnès Buzyn, a cancer and transplant specialist, later told a parliamentary investigation that she had alerted the president and the then Prime Minister Edouard Philippe to the potential dangers of COVID-19 as early as January of 2020. The special court, called the Court of Justice of the Republic, was created in 1993 to prosecute ministers as a way of improving accountability due to the perceptions that cabinet members were able to escape legal censure for their actions in office. Some critics accuse it of being too slow and too lenient, while defenders of Agnès Buzyn see the investigation as unfair and likely to deter others from entering politics. The former Prime Minister Edouard Philippe and the current Health Minister Olivier Véran are also being investigated. Agnès Buzyn has quit politics and in January of this year joined the cabinet of the World Health Organization's Director General, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, who has also been under fire for his response to the coronavirus pandemic. Investigators have searched the homes of former Prime Minister Edouard Philippe, as well as the current Health Minister Olivier Véran, the former Health Minister Agnès Buzyn, the former government spokeswoman Sibeth Ndiaye, and the head of France's health authority Jerome Salomon. Jerome Salomon became known as Monsieur Covid for his daily health briefings at the height of the epidemic in March and April of 2020. In France, ministers can only be held accountable for their actions while in office by the Court of Justice of the Republic, the CJR, which is an administrative tribunal. A judicial inquiry was opened in June of 2020 to examine the validity of dozens of complaints, nine of which were passed on to the General Prosecutor, François Mollin, for further investigation. The Court of Justice of the Republic, the CJR, opened a formal inquiry headed by François Mollin the following month for abstaining from combating a disaster, a charge punishable under Article 223-7 of France's Penal Code. A separate preliminary criminal investigation opened in June of 2020 is being handled by Paris's public prosecutor, Remy Heitz. The criminal investigation is specific and limited and will not look at political or administrative responsibility, but whether decision makers had committed possible criminal offences, including involuntary homicide or injury and endangering the lives of others, Heights told journalists. The charge requires proof that those accused decided intentionally not to act in the face of growing COVID-19 emergency. It is an accusation created in 2000 as another form of France's crime of non-assistance to a person in danger, which applies to an immediate failure to act to save someone's life. Investigators must show the actions of the ministers and officials under investigation were willfully absent rather than negligent or mistaken. As well as the provision of face masks and equipment, the inquiry will examine alleged failures to introduce virus protection measures in workplaces and set up sufficient testing to diagnose those contaminated with the coronavirus.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent, and FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Many traditions speak about the concept of crying, the concept of weeping and shedding tears for the tragedies that befell the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And those tears are not for the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam in reality, but rather for ourselves, because it is something that shows our emotional attachment to those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also a very important point for us to consider, that whether we cry for the Ahlul Bayt or we don't cry for the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, the station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is set. It is not going to change by our tears. Rather, it is our station close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of our tears for them that will change. So Imam Baqir alayhi salam in this tradition mentions the concept of tears and the importance of tears. He says alayhi salam that there is no person who, when we are remembered in his presence, so what is a gathering and our tragedies have been spoken about, and because of that remembrance that is occurring in his presence, he begins to shed tears, or tears start flowing from his eyes. Even though those tears may be extremely little, or as the Imam says, that even though they may be the same size of a wing of a mosquito, very small, a droplet of a tear, but it is still because of the Ahlul Bayt and the tragedies of the Ahlul Bayt, and in remembrance of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of this, because of that tear, and this is where we see the result, that the tears is not because the Ahlul Bayt in reality. Yes, we are doing it for them, because of them, they are the cause of it. But the effect and the result and the so-called natija that occurs from this crying and the shedding of tears comes back to us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall construct for that person who is crying, or even cried, you know, a drop the size of the wing of a mosquito, a house in paradise, and make the tears a barrier. So these tears that a person is crying at the remembrance of the tragedies of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam will become a barrier between this person who's crying and rememberer, and the fire of hell. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our tears more than this, because they have the potential to be a lot more. But even this is something that is extremely beneficial if we are able to achieve this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the true grievers and mourners of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
This spotlight.
Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story in